Welcome to WRHU's One-on-One Stories. For the next 30 minutes, our host, Dr. Gregory Barroza, will talk with influential and inspirational guests. One-on-One Stories explores all areas of life and lifestyles affected by health, fitness, nutrition, medicine, mental attitude, and general well-being. Our guests discussed unique aspects of their lives and work, including current, controversial, and offbeat subjects of interest to all of us. It's One-on-One Stories with Dr. Gregory Barroza.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ear. I got a bad case of loving you.
This is Dr. Greg Barroza. Welcome to One-on-One Stories, where we talk about health, fitness, life, and various aspects of staying healthy. We learned a lot last week from Dr. George Kramer about heart valve disorders in dogs, cats, and people. We also learned about Dr. Kramer's revolutionary heart valve implants to extend his patients' lives. This week, we're going to continue that discussion, where we'll be hearing about Dr. Kramer's other inventions and clinical interests, and also the challenges ahead for patenting and bringing a medical invention to market.
Hi, I'm Dr. George Kramer. You're listening to Dr. Greg Barroza's One-on-One Stories on WRHU 88.7 FM, Radio Hofstra University.
Our guest today is Dr. George Kramer. He's originally a Long Island guy from West Hampton Beach. He went to Tufts Vet School, and we've known each other for over 30 years. He's specially trained at the Animal Medical Center in New York City, has board certification in internal medicine and cardiology, was perhaps the first mobile ultrasound specialist on Long Island circa 1989. He's definitely one of the best. He started his own private veterinary clinic, the Atlantic Coast Veterinary Specialists, out in Bohemia. It's a 24/7, 365 hospital with specialty services and referral, and he has a very impressive list of advanced research publications and lectures. Today he's here to discuss with us the fact that he started an UltraVet medical device company circa 2010, and he's working on some new implant. He's going to tell us about a revolutionary new invasive interventional cardiology implant device that he created, useful for helping dogs with clinical heart disease and otherwise conditions that are untreatable with conventional medicine alone. Furthermore, what's even more important is Dr. Kramer's work has much larger future implications in assisting people with similar problems if he's successful first working his problems out with dogs. So we want to welcome Dr. Kramer onto the set of One-on-One Stories here at WRHU Studio. Thanks for coming, and it's good seeing you again.
Good seeing you too, Greg.
Okay, now, a major disadvantage open heart surgery in people and also I would assume in pets is some of these more involved procedures require a team of surgeons and could even include heart bypass anesthetic procedures. Is that about accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there are a couple of places around the world that do have open heart bypass programs and do open heart surgery for valve repairs or replacements, but they're very few and far between. In fact, at Atlantic Coast Veterinary Specialist, my hospital, we do have a heart-lung bypass machine, but we've actually never used it because it's so labor-intensive to get the team together and get it up and running, and you have to do a lot of those surgeries to be proficient at it. The transcatheter route seems a much better way to go in dogs.
Well, in people, that's the course. In fact, all the major hospitals are touting how many cases they've done now with these catheter procedures versus doing the open heart, open chest type surgeries, and
right,
for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and it's much less invasive. It's less painful. You're out of the hospital the next day, in some cases even the same day, but generally the next day, as opposed to a 5 to 7 day post-op stay in a hospital. It's much less expensive. In dogs, the places that are doing open heart valve repair in dogs right now, The cost for that is anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 to do that surgery.
Now, I know in people, the Edwards Sapien valve and the Medtronic Core valve have those procedures done for people. It's about $35,000.
That's just for the price of the valve to buy the valve off the shelf. So that's just the cost of the valve. The whole procedure is probably, you know, well north of $100,000, $150,000. You know, when you figure the whole team and the anesthesiologist, the OR time, all of that.
Yeah, without some sort of health care provisions for people, it's a tremendous setback in your later years. And I know in the case of my mom, she was in the experimental group, so most of it was underwritten. I don't think she would have been able to afford it had we not been into that original group. But
right.
With time, as this becomes more the norm, the cost of these procedures will go down.
Well, and that's the thing that I was focusing on, too, because you can't expect to put many valves in a dog if it costs $35,000 to buy the valve off the shelf. So we were trying to design the two valves that we designed. The idea was that it's still a lot of money. I mean, we're not talking pennies, but the idea was that you could probably manufacture and sell the valve for a couple thousand dollars or so and get it implanted in the dogs for, you know, anywhere from $6,000 to $7,000, which is, like I said, still significant money, but certainly a lot less than the $30,000 it would cost to do open heart surgery in a dog.
Yeah, and as you said, if you can get this going and you can mass produce to some degree and train other people to do it, the cost will come down.
Come down, right.
And quite frankly, your success rate will go up based upon experience.
Right.
I noticed you're also delving out with your company into creating bronchial stents and urinary incontinence stents. Is that something you're actively pursuing? And do you have prototypes for these, or is this something just on the horizon for you?
No, absolutely. The bronchial stent was actually the first thing that I developed. And again, I identified common problems that we see frequently in my practice that really don't have good solutions.
First, I should let the public realize that the bronchial stent refers to the breathing apparatus, to the trachea or the bronchi, the finer air vessels within the lungs. And some dogs, especially the smaller breeds, they tend to collapse. And so that's what you're addressing, correct?
Right. Collapsing trachea, I'm sure many people out in the audience who have small breed dogs, especially Yorkies, know what the problems of collapsing trachea entails. And for several years, there was a stent that was developed where you can go down through the mouth and put the stent in the trachea. It's a metal stent made out of nitinol, and it springs open and keeps the trachea open. And that works pretty well. But I noticed in a lot of dogs with heart disease, the heart pushes up on the bronchus and the bronchus collapses, which is a much smaller area than the trachea. So we developed a very small stent to put in the bronchus to keep that left bronchus open.
Great. And you're doing something with urinary incontinence also?
Yes. Another type of stent that has a valve in the middle of it. Many older female dogs develop urinary incontinence, and it's a very difficult thing to treat. Sometimes medication helps, but they still leak urine all over the house very frequently. So it becomes a major problem. And dogs get euthanized, actually, unfortunately, because they're leaking urine all over the place, and it becomes a mess at home. So I developed a stent similar to what I put in the bronchus, but inside it has a little valve, and it goes right in the urethra and helps prevent that leaky incontinence problem.
Yeah, and for anyone who doesn't understand all these medical terms, most people do by now, but basically this is the urinary tract, the portion leading to the exterior. Basically, you're giving them a new valve to replace what's leaking.
Right.
Okay. Are any of your patents under? Are any of your devices under patent protection?
Yes, we have patents out on the bronchial stent delivery system and on the two valves, the two heart valves, and we're about to apply for a patent on the urethral stent.
Okay. And I know, to your credit, and I've done this myself, you've been funding most of this yourself to keep this going.
Yeah.
You had a vision and you funded it, and if you had to convince someone else that there's a need, you probably couldn't do it until you're already at the success stage, and then they go, oh, that was brilliant. I could have done that.
Right.
So I know you've done some campaigning, some crowdfunding with Indiegogo, and you've done a Launchpad Huntington pitch. And has there been a decent response to this calling?
Yeah, there's been a very good response. People are very interested, one, to see how the process is going, but even, you know, willing to just donate. We're in the phase now where we're trying to line up some investors, but the we've raised over $30,000, I think $35,000, just from people wanting to donate through the Indiegogo campaign or directly through my hospital. There have been breed associations that have had auctions for us and donated the money. So it's been very, very helpful. It's still kind of a drop in the bucket, unfortunately, when you look at the amount of money you need to run this whole operation and to do the prototyping and the clinical trials. And I've put a lot of my own money in there, but I'm committed to it, and I see the vision, and I'm sure it's going to work and save thousands of dogs.
Well, you surprised me with your interest in equine veterinary medicine. I'll surprise you by telling you probably don't know, but I have a patent that I developed to clean out the bowel of horses, and believe it or not, it was purchased by a major catheter company. It's being used to clean out people's clogged coronary vessels.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it is. It's patented. It's up there. I've got the diploma and everything. But the purpose here is to tell you that I know how much aggravation, time, energy, and money you're going through to get to that point. And just to get a patent is a major accomplishment. People don't realize it's not just signing a piece of paper.
No, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time. It's certainly a lot of frustration, too.
And as small a percent as people get a patent, there's even a smaller percent that their patent then finally goes to market with something that is profitable. So
that's right.
Yeah. When we come back, we will be continuing our discussion with Dr. Kramer about designing, marketing, and his clinical use of revolutionary inventions.
Hi, I'm Dr. George Kramer. You're listening to Dr. Greg Burroughs' One-on-One Stories on WRHU 88.7 FM, Radio Hofstra University. As a little aside, when I hooked up with my patent attorney, he was telling me the story of back in the late 1800s. The head of the patent office at the time suggested that the patent office be closed down because everything that needed to be invented was already invented. So
yep.
Obviously, he was a bureaucrat that didn't really know what was going on.
Since we're talking in this subject, do pets ever get clogged coronary vessels similar to people, or is that just something mostly seen in people?
It's pretty rare in dogs. They tend to, it can happen, but they tend to have some other endocrine problem like Cushing's disease or hypothyroidism. And it's those diseases that can lead to coronary artery plaques. But as far as the routine lifestyle type of disease that, you know, is so common in people, that's both genetically mediated as well as diet related, we don't really see that in dogs or cats.
Well, you remind me a little bit of myself in that you're always driven to do that next thing. Are you satisfied with all this on your plate, or do you have other spinoffs that we don't know about that you're still working on someday in the future?
If my wife was here right now, she'd be shaking her head and throw out the word fish farming. But that's another long story. A friend of mine is starting a fish farming company and wants me to get involved, and my wife thinks I'm out of my mind. But
well, you know what? We'll save that for another segment, and we'll have a psychologist sit in with us, and then
right.
We'll do the whole thing together. Now, part of your vision is if you get this going, you're going to also try to share this expertise with other clinics around the country so that you're not the only one doing it, and that's part of your vision, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. We have to get all the other veterinary cardiologists in the country trained on how to evaluate the cases, the ones that really need the device, and then how to place the device.
Yeah, I have to say that I'm not touting any one hospital or university or anything, but the amount of meticulous investigation that they went, that they put my mom through, was like incredible, just to make sure and to screen that she was an appropriate candidate. And in fact, she wasn't. She had what's called a porcelain aorta, which would have ruptured in surgery.
Right.
So they didn't use a conventional approach. They had to do a special approach. She waited to be in the second series of experiments. So I understand what you're doing as far as being so, so meticulous. When do you envision, if this comes to fruition, that this kind of your devices would be on the market on a routine basis for people to even be considering?
Well, we're hoping to get through the fundraising and investment stage by the summertime this year. And then we're in the midst right now of going through final engineering and prototyping of the next generation of the devices beyond the prototype stage, the initial prototype stage that we did the pilot study on. And then right after that, hopefully come the fall, we'll start the clinical trials. And once those clinical trials get about 6 months underway, we should be able to start selling the device commercially.
The cost, I think you already told us, is in this few thousand dollars, you believe, to have this done, at least from your perspective, not necessarily if it's another veterinary hospital and the admission, et cetera. What kind of market do you think is even out there?
Well, a bigger market that we could than we could ever satisfy, because if you look at, you know, anywhere between 1 million to 2 million dogs a year dying in the U.S., forget about the rest of the world, but just in the U.S. from congestive heart failure, you know, there just aren't even enough veterinary cardiologists to be able to treat all those dogs. And of course, some people might not have the funds available to treat all those dogs. But it's going to take, there are about 350 cardiologists, veterinary cardiologists in the U.S. Not all of them do interventional procedures. So, you know, we're going to need to train about 200, 250 cardiologists to do the procedures. And once we have all those people up and running, I figured we could probably realistically do about 20,000 procedures a year.
Wow. Well, if I'm not retired by then, maybe you can employ me to come help if there's that many procedures going on. Are there any other devices out there on the market that are similar to yours that are being used in people or anything along these lines right now?
There's something called the mitral clip, which is being used in people right now, which is treats degenerative and functional mitral valve disease. There are a number of companies that are trying to develop transcatheter mitral valves for implantation in people, and there's a race going on. You know, there's a lot of money being spent, a lot of companies putting a lot of design effort and engineering effort into developing these devices, and there will be in the next few years, I'm sure, a device that's working well in people in the mitral valve and tricuspid valve space. But potentially, my valve could do the same thing in people.
Have you thought about putting your bid in to go on Shark Tank?
A lot of people have asked me that question. And I must say, I watch it more than I ever did because I want to just see what it's all about. I would consider it. I guess, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. The Launchpad Long Island that I did and pitched there, that was like a sort of a mini Shark Tank. No TV cameras, though.
Well, I think it's fair to say that you'll probably have other upcoming events and need. If anyone wants to get in touch with you, they have an idea or an improvement or they want to collaborate with you or discuss anything with you, I know you're approachable and reachable, and they can get you at your website, which is ultravetmedicaldevices.com.
That's right.
And they can get in touch with me or this program if they have any further requests to do more or have trouble getting in touch with you. But you certainly are doing some revolutionary and pioneer work out there. And I'm knowing you, you're not going to give up. You're like the ever-ready bunny. You're just going to keep plowing forward.
You gotta approach it that way because you know, that's like life in general. You know, you think you have a plan and there are going to be obstacles that come up and you just have to blast through them and keep going. So we're committed to making sure this works in dogs.
Yeah, and I don't want to lecture to the choir here, but I'm sure you're fully aware that regardless of all your plans, nothing quite works out the way you originally planned, but something usually good and better comes along the way that you hadn't even considered.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to be open to all the possibilities.
Well, again, we'll be looking forward to some comments from some of our listeners about how rewarding they found this information. And it's been a pleasure learning so much about repairing of leaky valves from you. I'm sure if someone sat through and listened to the whole program, they'd say, I never believed I'd be sitting here listening and learning about leaky valves in the heart. But it's something critical to the most important pump in our body, the heart. If it doesn't work, you don't have anything. So I want to congratulate you for all the work you've done so far and wish you the best of luck in the future and hope that you feel free that whether you come back to tell us more about the heart or you come back to tell us about your next venture in fish farming someday, we'll have you back on the set here and giving you the latest update.
I look forward to it. I had a good time, and it's I'm sure there are a lot of listeners out there whose dogs have degenerative valve disease, unfortunately, and they can relate. And, you know, they, I'm sure, are emotionally invested in this concept too, because it's you know, provides a big ray of hope for people whose dogs have this problem.
Well, again, George, thanks so much. We look forward to talking to you in the future.
Great. Thank you, Greg. Hi, I'm Dr. George Kramer. You're listening to Dr. Greg Burroughs's One-on-One Stories on WRHU 88.7 FM, Radio Hofstra University.
We've been talking with Dr. George Kramer, one of this country's leading veterinary cardiologists. He shared with us his insight and knowledge about heart valve disease and the untreated consequences of congestive heart failure. We learned firsthand of Dr. Kramer's visionary new heart valve implants to prevent or to delay these life-ending consequences. We commend Dr. Kramer for his commitment to helping all mankind in his search for a better valve implant that could be useful to help people and their companion animals in dealing with their leaky heart valves. If you're interested in more information about Dr. Kramer and his work or about any of our other guests, please check our show's website, oneononestories.com. If you have any questions for us, have any ideas of interesting people to interview, or interesting topics to discuss, or just want to comment about a show that you heard, please feel free to email us at info@oneononestories.com. One-on-One Stories is a weekly half-hour show that discusses enlightening information in an entertaining setting. We freely explore all areas of health, science, medicine, fitness, diet, and associated lifestyle choices. Our goal is to help our listeners better understand the values of knowing how to become and stay healthy, fit, happy, and enjoy an optimal lifestyle. Please tell your friends to listen to us and to contact us with their comments. I'm Dr. Burroughs, thanking you.